And welcome to another of this midweek message. We've been doing a theme of the seven I ams of Jesus, and I just thought I'd continue with that since it's been really enjoyable to study and I've had some good feedback from you all, so thank you for that. So why are we studying this? I think the seven I ams of Jesus, he declares some things about himself that are really important, and if we can just grasp them, it feels like we're pulling back a curtain on what Jesus says he is. And it would help us and give us revelation so that we can have more faith in God's character, in God's nature, because we can see who he really is. So today I want to do two, if possible. So we're going to go for John 8 and verse 12. And it says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So that's the first one I wanted to talk about today. Jesus being the light of the world. So he is declaring something new to them. As he's speaking, he's saying, I am the light of the world. So what is light, really? So we know about the effects of light. We know that humans, plants, life cannot exist without light on Earth. And we know that light cannot be contained. If you think about it, it has no shape or form. You can't catch it in your hand, you can't enclose it in a box, so it cannot be contained. And if Jesus is saying this, it's always really encouraging to us that his light cannot be contained by any other or be shut in. So Jesus saying this is really encouraging, and he said this just at the end of the Feast of the Tabernacles. In mentions that in John 7, and this is a week-long feast where tall lamps are set up in the courtyard of the temple, and it's just to remind them, the Jews, of what happened to them in the wilderness, the fact that their forefathers went through the wilderness and were led by a pillar of fire through the wilderness that guided them so they could see in the darkness. And he said this at a significant time. It was no accident that he said it just as he was. He was telling them, just as there was the pillar of fire leading your forefathers through the desert, through the wilderness, to the promised land, here am I saying, I am the light now. So they would have been thinking about that because it was that feast. They would have been considering that. And there is Jesus saying, now I am the light of the world. So God's presence was with the Israelites for them to be able to follow, protect, to see the way. And Jesus here is making the statement to them in a significant moment that now he's saying, I am the light that can be followed, that can protect you, that can guide you. And so he's the presence now that they should be looking to. So let's look a little bit more at this. And what does Jesus say the light does? What is Jesus saying he does? So number one, he is the spiritual light. He leads us to salvation, as we know. In 1 Peter 2, it talks about that, how we've been taken out of darkness into his marvellous light. And that's a real favourite of mine to think about. So when sometimes people become Christians, they say, oh, I've seen the light. And we have a supernatural conversion. Whereas before, maybe our eyes were in the dark, we couldn't see. Suddenly we see the light. We see that Jesus is the way. We have a new experience in our lives. And we are converted into and transformed into the light. So in Amazing Grace, it says, once I was blind, but now I see. The light, Jesus, came down to the earth and it illuminated to the world the way of salvation, redemption and eternal life. So number one, then, we've seen the light. We've seen that spiritually we're no longer in the dark. Number two, the light pierces the darkness. Jesus broke the force of evil when he came, and we now don't need to be in bondage to the darkness anymore. His name and authority smashes the dark places, and that's the light that we can always live in. And that is really exciting, because even today, God may be smashing dark places in our hearts. Just as we stick closely to Jesus and have that relationship, he can take us through really difficult situations, and he can show us these things you might be in bondage to in areas of your heart in darkness. He shines his light into corners of our hearts, and where we need to change. And this light cannot be quenched by the darkness. So no matter how dark it seems around you, the light of Jesus cannot be quenched. And that is a big, huge encouragement and comfort to us. You know, in Christingle, sometimes we light our candles all together and we put the lights off in the church. And we all sit around and we hold our candle, and it's signifying that Jesus is the light in the darkness, and we are also lights in the darkness. And those candles are not overcome by the darkness. Even the one makes the darkness light. So just as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about that time at Christmas. We were all sat around to hold in our Christingle, and that little candle, all of those candles together, made it light in the building. And that light of Jesus cannot be overcome. So no matter how you're feeling, that light cannot be overcome, to encourage you. And we're called to be like that light, like that candle, which we talk about at Christmas. We're called to be a light in the darkness to other people. And when that light shines, it destroys the darkness. Number three, Jesus is the light of the world, and it produces growth in us. Just as the sun gives off light, causes energy to come to cells, that energy causes that cell, that plant, that animal, whatever, to grow. So certain flowers in my garden close up when there is no light. So just as we need to think about this, that Jesus gives us light. He gives us that energy to grow. And that spiritual light is always there if Jesus is abiding within us. So we need to just abide, and then we will open up like that flower and blossom and mature. Number four, in John 8, it says, if we follow him and walk in his light, we will never walk in the darkness. And that's our hope, that because we have the light of Jesus, we will never walk in the darkness. He doesn't leave us ever. Even if you feel perhaps sometimes in the dark, God is always there. He's always working. In my garden, I have some solar lights. And although the garden seems dark, when it starts to get really dark, the lights come on because they're powered by the sun. And just like that, we are powered by Jesus, and we are not in the dark. Number five, the light of Jesus gives us guidance. No, the word is a light and a lamp to our path, Psalm 119 says. And it's the word, it's the Holy Spirit, it's our relationship with him that gives us understanding and revelation for the next step in our lives. So we are never without that light. We just have to look to him and he will lead you. He will guide us. So we are never left in the dark about our future. So be encouraged that God, Jesus, is our light. And these are the areas where I just wanted to emphasize today that that's who he is, who he still is today, who he will be in the future, and who he was in the past. So moving on to John 15. Wanted to read a little bit of that and go on to what Jesus says about himself, that I am the true vine. So in verse 1, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone doesn't abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burnt. And if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. That's an amazing passage, and I know Alex has been preaching from it, but I just wanted to say a few other things. So a vine to Israel would have been an important thing. They had them on their coins at certain times before the Romans. And this plant is mentioned more times than ever, any other plant in the Bible. It is grown only for its fruit. for the wine or for the raisins and no other reason. And the wood in Ezekiel 15 was said to be worthless. So all we're growing vines for is for the fruit, remember. Jesus says, I am the true vine. True being that it's not temporary, it's permanent, it's eternal. And there might be other vines, but Jesus is the true one, the genuine one. So what does a vine do? The vine is the root and the stem, and the large root stock in Bible times often would just grow on the floor. It wouldn't necessarily be on a trellis. It would be grown spread across the ground. And so the branches would grow spreading across the ground. The vine's purpose was to support the branches to spread, to climb and to grow in order to produce the fruit, the grapes. And it's destined to grow. That's what it's destined for. And it carries the sap to each branch. The vine gives the life. The vine connects all the other branches of the plant together. So in the same way, if we look at Jesus, he supports us as we grow and he wants us to produce fruit. That's the reason the vine is there, so that we, the branches, produce the fruit. The Holy Spirit is like the sap and the power, and our relationship with Jesus ensures we're nourished and full of life in order to grow. And Jesus talks about the importance of abiding in him, meaning that we all stay connected. So we're not just connected to the stem and the root, we're connected to each other as branches, and we bear fruit together. That's the unique relationship we have. Christ and us is the vine and the branches. And that's a wonderful thing, that we're not on our own in life. We are joined with him and we're joined together. 11 times in John 15, you'll find the word abide. So it might be a good Bible study just to look and see where you can find the word abide in John 15 and underline it. The Greek term is meinate, which means to remain, to continue, to endure, to await. And only can we meinate in Christ if we and thrive and bear fruit. We have to stay abiding with him. So we're called to be staying in that relationship with Jesus and his words, to continue and to abide. Then if we also need to abide in Jesus and the Father's love, it says. And if we keep these commandments and obey, we stay in this love and we're friends, not servants. And that is an amazing thing, to think that we're not servants of God. We're friends if we obey and abide in his love and the Father's love. Abide means time, really, doesn't it? And so we need to spend time with Jesus. We need to spend time in his presence. We need to spend time in the word, to study and meditate on it and read it and be in his presence. And the passing of time really shows who's abiding in Jesus. You know, there's people that started as Christians faster than me. They went into leadership positions faster than me. They were, seem to be on a trajectory to be doing great things, yet over time they've really lost their joy and their passion of Jesus, and they're not abiding with him. And obviously we can pray and believe that these people will come back to him, but we need to think about that in our time, that, oh, how much time are we abiding with him? Because, and look at ourselves, because it's our choice. It's our choice to pray and to read and spend time with him. And there's a danger in not abiding, John 15 says, that we can't bear fruit if we're not attached to the vine, and we are pruned back and those branches are taken away if we're not attached. But the fruit comes from us not striving, but just from remaining and abiding in Jesus. You know, a plant in my garden doesn't strive and strive to produce the fruit or the vegetable. It just does, because it's in the right place, it's in good soil, it's being tended, hopefully, and it's got the light and the warmth and the rain that it needs. So it just produces. And so it's the same with us. If we just stick with Jesus and abide in his love and his words and allow the Father to tend us, then we will produce fruit. In lockdown, it's been really important that we all stay connected. And we've had to adapt, and then our brains also adapt in the way we social distance and the way we go about our business and stay home, we've had to find ways to stay connected. And I think we've done a good job as a group, haven't we, in keeping together by phone calls to each other, by texts, by sending perhaps little gifts to people or cards, or being on Zoom or streaming things. So we've tried to find ways to stay connected, and we need to stay adaptable in that, even with ourselves as a church, but also with Jesus. We need to be willing to adapt, we need to be willing to change, we need to be teachable in the way we stay connected to Jesus. Now, at the minute, we're all just bubbling with one other family or person, and I'm encouraging you maybe to just bubble with God. Take time when you can just be with him, and sit so we can bear more fruit, so that we can come out of this stronger than we went in, not discouraged, but stronger in our relationship with him, stronger than we know we can trust him in a fresh way. So we have his presence with us, and we're not on our own. We are connected internally and externally forever. So we're not meant to be dry and brittle as branches. We're meant to be full of the sap. So by staying abiding, by keeping in the vine, by just holding on to Jesus, we know that Jesus can provide enough for all of us to stay green and fresh and produce the fruit. So if you're feeling a bit dry, it's maybe that Jesus's sap isn't flowing to you at the moment. So there might be some reason for that. So I'd encourage you just to look at your relationship with him. Be honest. Look at whether there's any blockages or unforgiveness or offence or sin in your life that you need to get before God and deal with. And then you can see his life flowing through you again, and that will affect other people. So we have inner fruit such as joy and peace and self-control like in Galatians, but also we have that outer fruit that we're attractive to other people because we're full of life, we're full of the sap of Jesus. And then we can see other people affected and saved because of who we are in him. The Father is the vine dresser, it says, and he tends us and he prunes us carefully. A vine dresser would know his vine really well. He would know where the branches are. He would lift up branches that maybe have fallen over or fallen down, and he would have cleaned it and pruned it. So he would have been tender with the vine. And I'm just want you to know that Father God is tender with us, and where we've done things wrong or where we've taken offence, we can just get before him and he will help us. He will clean us. He will tend us. He will protect us. In Israel's time, they had hedges around their vines to protect them because they could be especially vulnerable, particularly if they were on the ground. They also were susceptible to foxes. Obviously a fox is nocturnal, so in the dark, even the smaller vines, the foxes might climb on and damage. And there is a scripture that says that little foxes can spoil the vine. And I just want you to be aware that Father wants to protect the vine. He wants to put his hedge of protection around you. And also you have the authority to stop these foxes from coming on your branch, and we can just believe together that that won't happen. So be encouraged that there's a good Father tending you, and also that Jesus is your vine. And we, as a church, as a body, and as a people, as Christians, are attached to him, and his life is coming through to you. So thank you for listening. Hope that helped you, and have a good week. God bless.